Monster Movie Media presents. Welcome to episode 44 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And on this very special episode of Creepy Kingdom, Michelle Young from the Disney Dream Girls podcast comes on the show once again as I share with her and with you all the details of my triumphant return to my favorite place on Earth after a 15-year absence. That's right. I'm talking about Disneyland. Okay, I'm here with Michelle Young from the Disney Dream Girls podcast. Hello.
Hello, James.
How are you? It's fine.
I'm very good, thank you. Are you back from your many travels?
I am back from a trip that I'm going to tell you and the listeners all about. But before we do that, there's something very important that we need to discuss.
Go on.
This is not your first appearance on the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
It's not, no.
In fact, I believe this is your fifth appearance on the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
Yay!
Which, by Creepy Kingdom law, decrees that you are now officially a part of the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
Yay!
You join the elite ranks of Annie Clarf and Roxy Tart.
Well, it's nice to see, James, that you're surrounding yourself with such a bevy of wonderful women.
Well, as you'll hear from my weekend, that's sort of what I do. That's sort of how I roll.
That's fine.
But yeah, so now you can say that you're Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls podcast, the Earvengers podcast, and the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
Wow. What a CV I have. Such an eclectic mix.
That's right, man. You are taking over the Disney podcasting landscape.
I wish.
Step by step, your world domination is coming over. But thank you for all of your contributions, and now you're in the mix. It's too late now. No, there's no turning back now, as they say.
I can't escape. Help!
But anywho, I really got to get that out of the lexicon of things that I say. Anywho, it's not very becoming.
It's really spoiling the macho persona.
Yeah, it is.
Anywho.
Anyways. Let's get a little too girly right here. I need to man it up a little bit. Anyways, so we're going to talk about my recent trip to Disneyland. Just hot off the trails of my trip. I just got back from California 2 days ago, but the trip was a few days after, or earlier, excuse me. So I figured the perfect person to bring on to talk about this would be Michelle, because even though she lives in the UK, she has been to Disneyland more times this year than I have been in the past 15 years. And out of all the people that I knew that wasn't with me, you were the most interested in what I was doing while I was at Disneyland. That's what I was trying to say.
I was stalking every picture, but I did send you a big caveat and said, James, I do not want to see Christmas in any of your pictures.
And I took it to heart. I never posted or sent you any pictures of Christmas, which was a very, very hard thing to do. Because, the dates that I was there was November 7th through the 9th, mere days after Halloween, and it was as though it was Christmas Eve there. Like, it was insane how Christmassy it was. it was a little much.
Did it look like Santa had just thrown up all over the place with Christmas decorations, baubles and tinsel and holly and all that sort of stuff?
Pretty much, yeah. It was kind of like when the Grinch brought everything back real quick. It was kind of like that. And I was informed that they're not even halfway done with the Christmas decorations.
Wow. Well, I'm so grateful for you, James, because I've said to a lot of my friends, I will not look at their Disneyland Christmas pictures because I'm going there for Christmas and I want to walk through the gates at Disneyland, walking to the park and up Main Street and literally have my jaw on the floor. So I am trying desperately hard, but it's so difficult.
I mean, you have quite a ways for your trip at this point. So that's going to be hard to pull off for the next 2 months, pretty much a month and a half until you're there.
It's a task, James, but, you know, it's only 40 days.
Oh, why am I not surprised you have the number countdown ready to go?
Because I'm a Disney obsessive and I have strange things on my calendar marked, like 60 days book ADRs, 30 days book tours.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all Excel spreadsheeted.
Oh, wow. You're a professional. I thought I was, but no, I got nothing on it. I don't have any spreadsheets.
I'm just bizarrely bonkersly organized.
Well, that way, you know, you got to maximize your time. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I want to record interviews. I want to meet up with friends. I want to chill. I want to eat nice food.
No.
That's enough about my trip. Let's talk about yours.
I was like, yeah, that's a little summary of things that I did that you just said. I don't know about interviews, but I recorded a lot of stuff. But anyways, so yes, Disneyland. Let's start. I got there the evening of the 7th, which was a Friday. And first of all, I want to say I was meeting my friends, the aforementioned Roxy Tart, Cupcake Terror, and That Cat in the Hat. Everyone I have friends with has aliases. Because they all do a lot of crazy crimes. They don't want to link that
to protect the not so innocent.
Right. Anyways, I was staying with them in a suite at the Camelot Suites, I think that's what it was called, which was across the street from Disneyland, which geographically is actually closer to getting into the park than the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah. And if you're talking about comparisons to Walt Disney World, it's nearer than some of the monorail resorts as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was in shock on how close it was. Also, let's put this out there and say, just in case past listeners aren't aware, I grew up in Southern California. My love and affection for theme parks and Disney parks manifested over going to Disneyland many times as a child into my teenage and early 20s years. I actually have no idea how many times I've been to Disneyland. I couldn't even begin to figure that out. So I was coming home, and I had not been back to California in 15 years.
Wow.
So I hadn't been back to Disneyland in 15 years. In that time, I DCA was being built last time I was there. It wasn't even open yet. So this was a whole new ball of wax for me. The entrance to the park was it's totally somewhere else than the last time I went there. So I really lost my bearings when I rolled into town. So but anyways, I was driving through town, and I didn't come right off the highway. I went somewhere else earlier, and I was going through a few of the neighborhoods on the way there. And it was kind of traffic time, and I was tired. And also, I had just gotten over being really sick. I got really sick a few days, like a day or two before that, where another area of California I was. And I was bedridden sick, and I was really concerned that I was going to continue being sick during my Disneyland trip, and how sad would that have been? But I was recovering. I was about 85% at that point, you know. But anyways, I was tired and been in traffic, and I'm, you know, following the GPS and spacing out and all that stuff. And I'm at a traffic light, and I see this building, the back of a building behind, next to something. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. The back of that building looks like the Tower of Terror.
I know exactly the traffic point you were going at as well, yeah.
And I'm like, I bet I'm close, or I hope I'm close is actually what I thought. And then, you know, I go through the light, and all of a sudden I realized, I was like, and I used profanity, I was like, holy crap, you know. I'm here. Like, I'm driving by Disneyland, and I could see all this stuff from the street. Like, I've been, you know, my recent parks experiences have been in Disney World for this past, you know, so many years that I'm like, I forgot, like, you could see all this stuff from the street. It's insane. You know? And as I'm driving, you know, I'm staring at the left. My hotel was on the right that I was looking for. And, you know, I see the Matterhorn, I start seeing all this stuff, and I totally just passed my hotel. And it's not easy to turn around there either. I actually had to get back on the highway and do this crazy loop.
Oh, my heavens.
And it was really right at that moment, I was like, everything that had happened before that, being sick, being tired, blah, blah, that just went all out the window. Like, I was like... The Disney magic had come and swept me away, immediately. it was crazy. But anyways, enough of the play-by-play of that. I just thought that was worth mentioning. I actually missed my hotel because I was in shock that I was actually
there. It is freaky, though, if you're not used to it, to see the monorail literally above you as you're driving down. And, right. You know, as I walk home from the park down to the hotel I normally stay at, you know, you can hear people still on the Tower of Terror screaming. It's just so freaky.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, you can't even get that experience on an on-site Walt Disney World.
No.
You know, let alone off-site.
You'd have to sleep in Cinderella's suite,
right,
in the castle to get that same experience.
Pretty much. I mean, it's crazy. But that night was the Disneyland Creepy Kingdom meetup at Trader Sam's. So by the time we get in there and all that stuff, I wasn't going to go the park day. Obviously, I don't have an AP. I wasn't going to burn a day for like 2 or 3 hours. You know. Plus, I wanted the next morning to be like the grand return, you know.
James walks into Disneyland and people bow down before him. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back. We've missed you.
Wow, that was exactly how it went down. I didn't...
I told you I had psychic powers.
Yeah, I guess so. So
Trader Sam's.
Trader Sam, yeah. So keep in mind, I go through the promenade. It's the first time seeing the promenade. I see DCA. It's the first time seeing this. First time seeing Downtown Disney. That wasn't there last time I was there. And so I'm having a hard time, like, grasp, like, you know, saying, like, remembering this is a place I'd been before, just walking through that area. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I see the front gates of Disneyland. And I'm like, that looks familiar, but it just looks so foreign to me, this whole area.
You know? Yeah.
So then we walked, and then through Downtown Disney, we went through the Grand Californian so that I could see that, and And that was pretty beautiful in there, just going through the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Disneyland Hotel, which I had been there before. I had stayed there before in the past. And of course, that looks nothing like anything that I remember. But, I mean, I haven't seen pictures of it since they put the new stuff in there, the new water slides and the vintage sign and all that. And then we explored all the towers, particularly the Fantasyland one. It has lots of great memorabilia up in there. And that was fun. And then Trader Sam's. And that's quite a place right there.
Had you been in there before from previous trips? Was it there 15 years ago?
No, Trader Sam's is very new.
Yeah.
I think it opened it's like less than 3 years old, I would think, or something like that. Yeah, so no.
Wow.
No, I definitely had never been there before.
It's such a cool place to go and get something to eat, something to drink, a bit of ambiance and wind down.
Yeah, it was incredible. We had a pretty decent size group that in the actual inside is pretty small, and they have capacity issues. Sometimes you have to wait to even go in there. So we weren't going to be able to hang out in there, but we were hanging out outside, and they have, you know, all the tiki torches, and of course they bring the drinks out there too. And
yeah, because you sat right near to the building. You was actually sat in the area I normally sit in, so you pinched my chair, man. There's also the nice little fire pit outside as well, where there's like the big fireplace and it's lit on a night and it's nice and warm and cozy.
Yeah,
see that?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that was the smoking area, which I did not spend time in. But
we normally evict the smokers and take over the area, so that's fine.
Okay, well, some of our party were smokers, so so they kept going there. But no, it was very cool. And that was a time that I met most of the people that I'd be spending a lot of time with this weekend. My roommates are part of the Bangarang Bunch Social Club, and I met up with a lot of other members and potential members that were there, so that was cool. And another cool thing was that someone from Instagram came.
Oh, what, as a representative of Instagram?
No, just someone for the company of Instagram. Okay. No, someone that none of us had met before. But yeah, it was really great. They were like, we got to come to this. You guys are great.
They sponsored you. James's meat, sponsored by Instagram.
Yeah, I wish it was sponsored. No, it wasn't sponsored by anyone, but but I thought that was really cool. Her name was Nikki, and it was a fun time. It was a cool experience. It was from 10 to midnight. Met some other people that were friends with Cupcake Terror, whose names are escaping me right now, so forgive me. But they were actually at the earlier meet for Paul Berry's weekly meet, which was from 5 to 7, I believe, which was way after mine, so I didn't get to cross paths with that. So they were talking about that and got a little glimpse of that, so that was cool. And then a little nerding out about some Disney stuff with them, so so that was fun. And then eventually moseyed on back to the room, because we had to get an early start, or I did mostly, for my day, my return to Disneyland. So now we're going to go with the Saturday morning.
Okay.
November 8th.
What time was park opening and what time did you roll in?
Okay. So Roxy and Cat in the Hat had made a declaration that they were not going to be going there early.
I've seen the bathroom counter you posted a picture of.
Yeah, yeah.
I would imagine to apply that amount of cosmetics and beauty products, it would have taken a little while.
Right, but my other roommate, Cupcake Terror, I can't just say Cupcake. Sounds too cute. I have to throw the terror there. She said she would accompany me in the morning. We had talked about doing rope drop, And that day, the Bangarang Bunch was Disney bounding as different characters from Peter Pan. That day wasn't just a get up and go thing, so Cupcake had to like get ready too. And she was bounding as one of the mermaids from Neverland.
Oh, cool.
So originally we talked about rope dropping, but that didn't really happen. And I think the park opened at 8, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been 9. Whatever time it was, we woke up about 45 minutes after that. And then she got up and started getting ready, and that was a while. So I'm going to say we probably got in the park sometime before 10 o'clock.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So it wasn't too far after rope drop. And let's really put this out there now. On this day, they were filming for the Christmas parade that airs.
I'm sorry, James. It's no longer called the Christmas Parade.
Sorry, Frozen Fun Time Variety Hour.
Let's just call it Frozen, Anna and Elsa, Cutie Kids, and Bowl of Sick. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. I liked my Frozen Fun Time Variety Hour. But I didn't see any of that. They did have this. I guess there's one a sad point. I guess was that they had a big stage set up in front of Steambreeding Castle, so you couldn't walk through it. But I didn't. You know, I wasn't really too interested in any of that stuff, so I've got nothing to say about it. But I just think it's a point of interest that was happening, and obviously that means it was crowded. On top of the fact that it was Saturday or Sunday, anyways, and I don't believe it was a blackout date, so it was packed. Anyways, we went and, go through the gates and walking down Main Street, and I was like, wow, like I'm actually here. I'm actually back here. This is incredible. I was very quiet. I couldn't really talk, you know, I was just like, what is happening here? You know, like this is real. I had the moment. It was good. First order of business among anything, number one thing that I had to go do was head straight to the Haunted Mansion to ride Haunted Mansion Holiday.
That was
obviously never experienced that either, because that's 14 years old.
Wow.
So yep, headed straight there. Now I will say, I have avoided watching any videos of this or anything about it for years. Whenever anyone talks about it on podcasts, I turn it off. I've gone to great lengths to not have this spoiled. In fact, there was going to be discussions about this on some Creepy Days episodes, and I selfishly said I don't want to hear about it, so we're not going to talk about it on the show. So sorry, listeners. But so with that being said, I know that you haven't experienced it yet, Michelle, so I'm not going to do it to you.
I'm avoiding everything to do with this. So, yeah. So you won't have experienced the Haunted Mansion full stop without the Nightmare Before Christmas get up either, will you then? In Disneyland.
I mean, yeah, not this trip, obviously, yeah. So,
yeah.
Which was okay. But I was really looking forward to this. I mean, I guess what I could say without actually talking about it or spoiling anything was that I loved it.
Yay. Well, tell you what I'll do. You talk about it for a few seconds and I'll just put my fingers in the ears and go la 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 in my head and I won't hear a thing.
You mean la 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 la? That's a spoiler. That's in the ride. But anyways, no, that's fine. I don't need to talk about it right now. It's fine. I have some things planned in the future to discuss about it. So that's not an issue. But it gets kind of controversial amongst the Mansion fans that it's there basically taking away, particularly in Halloween time. That you can't ride the original Mansion during Halloween in Disneyland.
Hmm.
You know, but independent of all of that, I just felt like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the overlay, and it was cool to see something I'm so familiar with and love kind of mixed with something else that I love and presented in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like it.
Cool.
So, there's that. and also, before we also continue, I also want to say, I want to kind of give a shout out to my friends who I've been navigating the parks with recently, in Walt Disney World and Disneyland. These people are been so great to go through the parks with because they're locals and they're giving me insights that I don't have, and they're telling me about stuff that I didn't know about, which I thought I knew everything, but. I cherish it because I realize, like, I couldn't have this experience by myself. You know, I would never know this. And it's really incredible. And for starters, I want to give a shout out to Jeannie Gallo, who I went through Walt Disney World with, because she was a great person to go through the parks with. She, you know, I had even spent, you know, a few days there before I met up with her, and she was just even giving me some other insights of stuff I didn't even realize, you know, and that was awesome. And going through the parks with Roxy and Cupcake, and actually my friend Amber, who I met up with later, who was a local as well, and my friend Jason and his wife Evelyn, who I also met up with, they just bring some things to the table that I just wouldn't have otherwise. And I realize that's a real special, unique experience that I'm having. So I just want to give a shout out for that. I'm sure you probably have similar experiences from the times that you've been going to Disneyland, of somebody bring something to your attention that you would have never even noticed or known about.
Oh, definitely. You know, I'm so fortunate that I've met up with some amazing people, you know, like Terry Harden, who's an Imagineer, or a former Imagineer. Mm-hmm. I spent an afternoon chatting with her at the Jolly Holiday Bakery, and she told me about some of the projects she'd been involved with. I met up with Russell Flores, who'd wrote a book about the details, the hidden details in Disneyland, and I hung out with him for a day, and he was pointing out these amazing carvings and things like that I never would have noticed. And then obviously there's my good buddies, you know, there's the guys from Diz Geeks, Daniel and Tommy, my friend Paul from Window to the Magic,
right.
Also Bryn from Window to the Magic. So I've just been so lucky, and you know, when you are spending time with locals in their park, it's just fabulous.
Oh, it's amazing. So I felt the need to publicly say that, just to put that out there. I thought that
yeah,
I really appreciate it. So after that, we went on Indiana Jones. I'm not going to give a play-by-play of each attraction because we'll be here for 3 hours or 4 hours. But but I just want to kind of point out things. I had been on it before several times. But it was a long time. It was 15 years ago since I had been on it, and I didn't really remember that much about it, I even mentioned this on a recent episode talking with Adam Leonard about it. I remember some key scenes, but that ride, that attraction is so amazing. I love it so much. It is like the pinnacle of what I love about theme park attractions. It's a great thrill ride. The environments are incredible. It is so dark and creepy. I mean, it's basically like Haunted Mansion mixed with Star Tours, really, is like, like, as far as like mixed with the thrill element of it, you know, it's like, oh, it's so good. There's just no comparison to that and Dinosaur, which is the same ride system.
I think with that ride, though, James, a big, big thing for me, it depends where you sit in the vehicle. Because the first time I rode it, I was on the back row, mm-hmm. and I said, I don't know what people are going on about this ride. It's rubbish.
Rubbish?
I went on it. Yeah. Lord. I thought it was absolute pants. And then Kieran persuaded me to go on it again. And we got on the front row, and oh my word, it was like I was on a different ride. I loved it.
Wow. I think I was in the front each time.
Yeah, well, that's what I've obviously learned. You've got to be on the front row, I think, to make it feel more real. I don't know. That's just my take on it anyway. I could be wrong. I'm just a British girl.
How could you enter that big open room with the flames and you see the other cars and you're completely in this cavern, so immersed, like, and say this is rubbish no matter where you were sitting?
I was sat behind somebody who must have been the size of five people and I couldn't see anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm only 5'2" and a little tiny bit. So, you know, unless they give me a booster seat so I can be a bit higher up in the chair, I ain't going to see past someone that size.
Boosters. We should ask for one.
Yeah, just give me a child I can sit on while I go around on this ride. Joking.
Child, yeah. But the other thing about that ride is also, it is still hands down one of the best queues. Like, one is one of my favorite queues. If you got to stand in a queue, you might as well be. There's so many hidden secret things in the queue that you could trigger that have these different reactions to it. And I don't know, did you experience any of that?
Yes, because obviously I was there with Kieran, and Kieran, very sensory bound. If he's got to touch everything, so he was going for it. And because we was with friends who knew about the secrets of what to do, and he was pulling ropes, he was pulling on bamboo,
right.
And he had an absolute ball. And also, 9 million degrees outside in the Californian sun, nice and shady.
Yep. Nice break from the sun, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I ended up going on Splash. I had to do that by myself because the ladies don't want to get soaked on the ride. They don't want to ruin their outfits.
Did you go on the single rider aisle then?
I did.
Or did you just go on the big queue?
No, I did single rider. Yeah, it was pretty. It was, by that point, it was pretty packed. The line was probably an hour.
Wow.
My general attitude is that most attractions that appear at Disneyland and Walt Disney World, that Disneyland versions are better. This is an exception to that. I think the Walt Disney World version is way better.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still. There's still something about it. You know what? It's funny because the ride seems very old.
Yeah.
But both of the attractions were built very similar time. It's just that most of the animatronics in the Disneyland one are from an older attraction called America Sings. And that's really why it feels so old, because they just forced all these animals in there that don't necessarily really belong.
To publicize a film about a mermaid as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was originally going to be about the mermaid movie Splash.
You know, it's like, film about Song of the South? No, it's really about mermaids. But yeah. There isn't a single one in sight, luckily. Or Ariel would go over and kick some butt.
I guess. I think if it was about mermaids, that would make the ride even fun, too. But I love all the Splash Mountain music.
Yeah.
So even though the music at Walt Disney World is even better because they made it a little Western sounding, so it fits in Frontierland. So it has like a banjo. It's like the same music but with a banjo. And I love banjos sound. I don't know why.
Yeah. But it's over in Critter Country, isn't it? Which is miles out of the way.
Yeah. It's definitely not in Frontierland at all. And but it's still the same lyrics. So you know, I had fun singing along to the songs. And there's actually one up that Disneyland Splash Mountain has is that there's this one other scene that is kind of in the dark with black-lit beehives. That part's not in the Walt Disney World one, and the music's really spooky in there. So I enjoy that part.
Cool.
But whatever, I did it. So let's see what else. They had the Big Hero 6 exclusive preview that we checked out, and that was fun. I'm looking forward to seeing that film.
So am I in about 3 months' time.
Oh, yeah, you guys don't have it yet. Yeah, it came out the weekend I was there, and I wanted to try to see it while I was at Disneyland, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, you know, go to the movies or go to the parks, you know.
Yeah, going to go to the parks.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my friends says, if it's still on when you come over at Christmas, why don't you go to the cinema? It's like, what? Where's 2 hours of park time? Hello? It's costing me several thousand dollars to fly over. Don't think so.
We had discussed trying to see a midnight show, but by the time that happened every night, that just, you know, it was time to retire. You know, so probably would have fallen asleep. But the preview was really cool because it was in the Captain EO Theater, so there was a few 4D effects in there. So it'd be cool to see the whole movie like that, but of course we won't. But it was quite enjoyable, I will say, and did that. And while we were there, I picked up my paper fast pass for Space Mountain. Ooh,
loving the paper.
What a rush, huh?
Yeah. Now, can I ask you about this Space Mountain malarkey? Had they finished the Ghost Galaxy run? Yeah. And was it back to the original, or was it still on Ghost Galaxy?
It was back. Boo. Like, apparently they only had to bring it down for one day to switch it back from Ghost Galaxy to the original, so I didn't get to ride Ghost Galaxy version.
Oh, you'd have thought, knowing that you were coming, they'd have kept it on a few more days.
I know, I told them.
You need to tweet them. You need to tweet them more often, James.
You're right. Actually, I totally forgot about the Twitter accounts while I was there, because they're really active on there. The Disneyland Today and Disney DCA Today, and I actually totally forgot about that. It's hard to keep up with social media when you're in the parks. You know? So, that's for sure. I would have. I'm like, where's Ghost Galaxy? But yeah, I did that. Rode the Matterhorn, which I do believe will be the very last time that I do that.
Yeah, this is the first and the last time for that ride.
Right. I mean, it was far from my first, but you know, I have a lot of great memories of riding the Matterhorn. You know, I always remember it being a lot of fun. But you know, we got the new seats, which are horrible. And it just really is not a fun experience. I don't know what else to say. Like, it's fun, you know, going by the little cute Yetis, and they're very cute as a comparison to the one in Expedition Everest.
Yeah.
You know, I like the history of it. You know, first steel roller coaster. I love the visuals of it. I love that I could see it from my hotel room window, as I sent you a picture of.
No. You did indeed, because it wasn't Christmassy, so I could look at it.
Right. But, yeah, I'm good with that. So, have fun, Matterhorn, for the rest of your days.
The only thing good about the Matterhorn is the macaroon you can buy from Jolly Holiday Bakery.
Oh, I didn't get that, but...
James, what kind of Disney fan are you?
I'm not answer that.
I sent my son off with some friends to go ride the Matterhorn because I'm not riding it. I like having bones in my back.
Yeah, I mean, while I was on the ride, I wasn't hurting too much, but it hurt when I got up. That's what I realized.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and the ride itself is just so not smooth. You know, like, you're just like, it's just like, I don't know about this. But, you know, I had to try the new seats. I couldn't, you know, not do it.
True, you've got to try it.
Yeah, you know, so I tried it. Then, you know, we did a few other things, and then I got to go back to one of my favorite attractions, and one of my favorite places to be, inside the queue of Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. Now, we've had a discussion about this, that you don't like the queue, which I attribute to the fact that you don't have affection towards the film, and it's one of my favorite films. So it's being able to walk through the back alleys of Toontown is pretty amazing. The real Toontown, the shiny, happy one that Mickey's Toontown is, but the real back, you know, dirty, shady one.
Okay, James, let's just clarify something now. Okay. Because you have derided me before for my lack of passion for this queue, I did go out and purchase the said Blu-ray to watch Roger Rabbit, and I did manage to watch it the whole way through with mostly my full attention, and I did enjoy the film, I must admit, but I'll tell you something now, that queue is brutal if you're stuck in it for an hour. It is boiling warm, and it is boring for an hour. If you were just slowly meandering through and moving, it wouldn't be so bad. But if you were stuck in certain parts for 10, 15 minutes because the ride had broken down, It ain't fun.
I'll give you a little leeway there. I still love it. I mean, we were in there for a while. So I don't know. I just... I love Jessica Rabbit so much. I'm a huge fan, and she's not really – she's only in the ride briefly, and then you get to walk by her dressing room and see her shadow. I timed it so that I get a picture of me with her shadow walking by. I posted that picture.
I bet you held the queue up just to get that picture,
yeah,
didn't you?
That was the wait, yeah.
Yeah.
You also get to walk by the entrance of the Ink and Paint Club, where you knock on the door and the gorilla's behind the door, and he asked for the password.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the password. You still didn't let me in. I don't know why. Do you know what the password is, Michelle?
Do I know what the password is? Yeah. No.
The password to get into the Ink and Paint Club.
That's why I've never been able to get in.
Yeah.
But seemingly you know the password and you've never been able to get in. So do I really need to retain that information? Because even if you know it or even if you don't know it, you're not going to get in. So I'd rather keep something useful in my head.
Wow. That's your minx coming out there. See there? Your minx coming out there. All right. Well, then I'll just leave that trivia alone and we'll move on.
Oh, go on then, James. Tell me what the password is. I'll try and remember it and retain it for longer than 3 seconds.
All right. Well, I mean, you might, maybe they're at capacity when I walked by, so you know, maybe you'll get in. The password is waltz at me.
Oh, of course it is. I remember now.
Yeah.
So I filed it under useless information because this password doesn't work to get you into the Ink and Paint Club.
I guess I couldn't get in, but I mean, well, Jessica wasn't even performing because she was in her dressing room, so it doesn't even matter. But,
oh, wow.
But here's one last thing I want to say about that. The other thing is, as you go around the corner, you're at the back of the Ink and Paint Club, and you hear the song. I don't remember what it's called, and you hear duck noises, and so you're led to believe that the amazing scene of the dueling piano scene between Daffy Duck and Donald Duck, the iconic once in a lifetime meeting of these two crazy ducks is going on. Obviously, you don't hear Daffy Duck's voice in the queue because they don't have the rights to that in the theme park, but you hear Donald going, you know, yelling and saying, and it's the song from there. So you're just led to believe that that scene is being played out on the other side of the queue and of the wall. And I'd never pieced that together before until just this trip. And I shared it with my pals. I was like, it's like, yo, Donald and Daffy are going at it right on the other side of this wall. This is awesome. So there's that. And Roxy and I were in a taxi together, and I made it a point to spin the thing as fast as I possibly could.
You're evil, James.
No, Roxy was into it. When we were getting in the cars, some people don't like to spin that much, and we had realized that that's what we wanted to do. So I was like, "All right," and I just never stopped spinning it. like I thought, you know, we were going to take turns or whatever. And the thing is, it was the first time that I actually could tell that my efforts were making it go really fast. So I just couldn't do it. And which was, I do get dizzy, which, like, I won't ride the teacups. So I don't know why I decided to do that, but I just was having too much fun. So how fast did you go on it?
Well, I've got a confession to make, James. The first time I rode it, I didn't realise you could spin it round until virtually the end of the ride.
Didn't notice all the arrows say spin this wheel into the world.
I just thought it was being funny. The second time I rode it, I was with Kieran, and as my son is sensory bound, he nearly had the thing running off its axes because he wanted to get it going as fast as he could.
Right.
But unfortunately, he's 14 and has got the muscle capacity of a Brussels sprout.
Oh, man, that's rough to hear from your mom.
So he couldn't do it. And I've broken three wrists. Well, my wrists three times. I've not got three wrists. But I've broken my wrist so many times that I just don't have the strength to turn it around. So I need a big, burly, muscly man to go with me next time to spin me around in the ride.
Well, I guess that would describe me. I mean, I don't know how muscly I am, but I just was hopped up. I was excited to be on the ride. I love Roger, the Who Framed Roger Rabbit as a film so much. Jessica Rabbit is, I'm a huge fan of Jessica Rabbit, and Roger is kind of one of my idols. So I just get really excited when I'm in there. And I feel like like its days are numbered, like the attraction. I feel like it doesn't have a past, you know, like I just have this bad feeling about it because it's not really too relevant. And I mean, it still has a long wait and people have fun, but I feel like even like, you know, as time goes on, the younger kids don't know who Roger Rabbit is. And I've got that bad feeling that they're going to take it away in the not too distant future. So I got to enjoy it while I can.
True.
I mean, I have nothing to say. I have no reason. I have no rumors or anything like that. I feel like all of Toontown is on the chopping block eventually. I mean, it's totally gone in Walt Disney World. So, and the fact that they have a ride based on Chippendale's Rescue Rangers there really makes it pretty dated. So, you know, it's like that's Gadget's Go Coaster. So
I did actually squeeze into that as well.
Oh, I didn't ride that one. Oh, you,
yeah.
I thought only kids could feel on that. Oh, cool.
Well, I'm a kid and I went in it.
I know. I as soon as I said that, I'm like, you know, foot in my mouth. But anyways, I guess we can move on there. I mean, oh no. God, there's still things that I need to say about what's happening there, because after that, I'm just going to skip a few things. I did go on into Small World, but I went on it again later, which is a way better story. But, got to go on the Alice in Wonderland ride with the new projections of animation interjected. Woo! That is pretty incredible. You experienced that, right?
I did. Loved it.
Did you experience it without it and then with it?
No, because in April when I went, it was closed. It was being refurbed. So when I went in August, it was my first viewing of it. And because I'd never seen it on YouTube beforehand, I didn't know what it was like before, but I just loved how the colours really popped and everything was vibrant. And talking of our lovely friend Jeannie Gallo, she'd sent me some wristbands saying princesspapers.com, quick plug for her website, and they glowed in the dark, so I could see her wristband as I drove around.
Oh, very cool. When I was a teenager, my favourite thing was Alice in Wonderland, like the movie, and I would collect Alice stuff. That was what I was all about. So that ride, when I went as a teenager, that was like one of my favorite things to do. So I've ridden it many times, and just seeing the projections in there and the animation put in with the classic animatronics. They're not really animatronics, they're more of moving statues. Oh, it's beautiful. I hope that they do this to all the Fantasyland attractions in both parks, because you know it could really work. You know, like it's really cool.
Well, Peter Pan's having, I'm sure it's Peter Pan that's having quite a long closure next year, so maybe they're doing something along those lines there.
I'd hope so. Mm. I'm not sure where they would put that in there. But I don't know. I'm sure they'll figure it out. But that's their job, not mine.
True.
What else did we do? Oh, the Sleeping Beauty walkthrough. That's pretty cool and creepy, you know? All the Maleficent stuff that popped up in there. You did that one, I assume, right?
I did it in April. I didn't do it this trip because Kieran just would not have... It just... Dark places, stairs, it's just confined spaces he doesn't do. Mm-hmm. So I did ask a cast member about it, and seemingly on the opposite side, there is a disabled version for people who have the issues, mm-hmm. like my son with his ADHD and his autism, and it's just basically a room with a few things in, and it's not really nowhere near the same. So obviously I missed it this time. So you're telling me there's goodies in there? It's been updated.
Oh, I mean, I don't think it's been updated since you saw it. I just mean it's been updated, like, in the past few years, is what, because it was closed for many years. It used to be just kind of miniatures, but just the kind of 3D projections, and it definitely is a lot of dark, creepy places throughout it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely enjoy it, especially at the end. I almost missed it, but again, with Cupcake there being a local guide, you can almost see Maleficent's shadow go by the exit. I don't know if you spotted that when you went through, but yeah.
I didn't know. I need to keep an eye out on that.
Yeah, right. It's like right before you leave. I was literally about to walk out the door. She's like, wait. And then I saw it. I was like, right on. Like full size too. Like the sizes of us, not one of the miniatures.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. As though she's walking out behind you, really. So it's kind of creepy.
She's going to follow me home to England.
Yep. And a Maleficent will follow you home. we did go on Space Mountain, which I enjoy this Disneyland Space Mountain more than Magic Kingdoms. It's a slightly different experience. So that was fun. Then there was a break in there or whatever. But then it was eventually time for me to enter Disney California Adventure for the very first time.
Woohoo!
And at this point, I had met up with my friend Amber. So I got to experience a lot of this first-time DCA stuff with her. You know, it was it was nighttime. Going down Buena Vista Street was cool. One thing I realized right away, which was so weird, because being such a Disney fan and listening to all the podcasts and all this stuff, it's like I know so much about DCA, but I had never been there before. So I know about all the attractions, I know all this stuff, but I had no idea where I was. I didn't have any bearings. I didn't know how to navigate the park. Like, I was so lost. It was a really bizarre experience. You're thinking that I'm such a Disney aficionado and going in the park, I'm like, I don't know where to go or how to get to where we need to be. And luckily, Amber could navigate because she knew where to go.
Yeah, because it's a bit of a weird layout as well as the park. You sort of go off one way or go off another or go off, you know, there's sort of three or four different directions you can go in, and it's a bit of a meander round if you go the wrong way.
Yeah, it's definitely not a hub and spokes layout, for say the least. But yeah, it's cool. We went on Tower of Terror, which this is a case where Walt Disney World wins over the DCA version.
Yeah, definitely. Although I do like the cool mirror effect that they have, and it obviously isn't at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, yeah. The main difference is there, of course, is that there's no fifth dimension in the DCA version, which is where you go forward and actually come across the ghost with a Pepper's Ghost effect. Mm-hmm. And then on the DCA version, you see yourself in the mirror, so that was kind of cool. But then you see the ghost there as well, which that did not look like a Pepper's Ghost effect to me. I don't know if you think that it is.
I don't know. I just like the effect. I think it's pretty cool.
No, it's cool. I'm not trying to say it's not cool. But I said this to many people. I'm like, the Hollywood Studios version is way better, but the DCA version is better than no Tower of Terror. So I still have fun writing it.
True.
You know, and one thing too about people that go to Disneyland all the time is that they always know when the pictures are being taken, so they have a thing about striking poses and doing silly things like that. I'm just not that familiar to when the picture time is, so every time a picture of me comes on, I just have the worst look, embarrassing look on my face,
you just have to hold the same pose for like 2-3 minutes.
Right. Just gotta pose the whole time.
Yeah, just forget about enjoying the ride, just pose for the photo.
Right, that's what I should have been doing. But yeah, I missed it on Space Mountain. My friends were posing for that one. me. I'm just like, oh, you know, just scream, like the screaming face. I'm just like, sorry, guys. I'm just, you know, I don't go as much as you guys. So, yeah, we did that and hopped on over to Radiator Springs Racers. That was my first time at doing that one. We did the single rider line, so because the line's always so long for standby.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and walked into Cars Land and all that stuff, and I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was really impressive. You know, it definitely, especially the dark ride elements of Racers, you definitely are like, wow, you really do feel like you're in the cartoon. I feel like I think that's probably one of the coolest parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, yeah, I was like, I don't want to talk too much about it in case someone hasn't ridden it yet, which is possible. but yeah, it was fun. You know, I am not really a Cars fan, I guess I'll say that. I thought that the first movie was pretty, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a little more heartfelt than I thought it was going to be. So that was fine. The second movie I really didn't care for. But one thing that happened when I watched the first movie, when they turn off the lights and they have the shaboom thing and all the neon comes on, my first thought watching the movie was like, oh my god, it's amazing, I want to go there. And so when they announced they were building it, I was like, that's so awesome, I could go there. So I went there and and that was cool, to be in there, see all the neon and all the stuff like that. I didn't get to go on the Flying Saucers ride because no one would go on it, and then they're taking it away.
Tires ride.
I'm sorry. It's based on the original Flying Saucers ride from Disneyland in the 50s.
it was okay. You couldn't get. It was difficult to get the vehicle to move, in my opinion.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. You know, take two reasonably sized adults in one of those and you ain't going anywhere. You're a sitting duck for people to bump you.
Yeah, every time I passed and I was with someone and to say I wanted to ride it, nobody did. And I knew that was not one that I should go on by myself because that would even make it even worse. You know? But
did you go on... Mater's Junkyard Jamboree?
I did not go.
That is so cool. That is just the best ride ever.
Yeah, somehow that was not even on the itinerary. Oh, I forgot to mention the group, the party, you know, the group of people that you know, I was hanging out with my three roommates there, but their whole party of people that they knew and all that, like, reached over 20 people. So there was, off and on throughout the day, there was a lot of different people interacting with. And because of this, they actually, Roxy had an itinerary. Which, when it was first brought up, I was like, why do we have an itinerary? You know, we can do what we want. But the idea of trying to get 20 people to constantly decide what they want to do next is just not going to happen.
True.
So having the itinerary is like, you know, like, this is the main itinerary. You can either go along with it or go off and do your own thing. And that was good. And I just, you know, went along with the itinerary. So and Mater wasn't on it. Unfortunately. Yeah, I just didn't get to that. But, you know, it's always a reason to go back. Then we eventually went back to Disneyland and Good Times Ride by All. I just want to get to the next day because it's running out of luck. Because next day was a big day. It was Rock Around the Park was the event that was going there. That was an unofficial fan event. It was a you know, rockabilly pinups meetup that was going on there. And that's what all my roommates and buddies are all into. So that, and that was, I had kind of planned to go during this too, so that I could, you know, check it out and be a part of it and all that stuff. So, so that was really cool. We took a group picture in the front, you know, in front of the train station out front. Originally, it was supposed to be in front of the castle, but there was a big stage there. So we could do that. But yeah, we took a group picture, and that was fun. And then from the thing after that is everyone migrates to everyone going on pirates right after that. So it was a takeover of pirates. So that was fun. And
it's a lot nicer pirates ride. The queue isn't as good. The queue's a bit near, right. But I love the ride. It's a lot longer. It's more immersive, isn't it?
Oh, yes. This was not my first ride on the trip, of course. Yeah. But it's a great time to say that this... I've been waiting to re-ride the original Pirates for so many years. You know, I remember the first time I went on the Walt Disney World version, I was like, what happened?
they cut it short.
What? Huh?
You sat there in your little boat with your James saying, where's the rest of the ride? I'm not getting off until there's the rest of the ride. Yeah. I want the burning building scene.
I want that, let alone all that. The end, oh my God. I mean, the beginning. To me, that's what's so great about the ride is the transition from the real world to the pirate world, going through the Blue Bayou restaurant. You know, it's so great. It's like it's such a slow transition to get you there, you know, and then you're just completely immersed in it. And then the last room is so great where it looks like everything is crashing and all that. That's definitely absent from the Walt Disney World version. I mean, that is such a cool room. And then, of course, you go up out of there. You descend out of there. It makes you really feel like you're leaving somewhere, not like turn the corner and then you're off the ride, you know? Like, so that's my nitpicky stuff. I know why they built it that way. I know that they didn't want to build it. They were going to build Western River Expedition, and the budget got cut, and everyone wanted pirates over there, blah, blah. I know, but... doesn't matter. I just say, you know, like, Disneyland's Pirates is amazing, and it was so much fun to you know, be in a boat full of people that you knew and having a good time with that. Took a great full boat selfie.
Wow.
Yeah. There was a lot of selfies going on this weekend of like major groups, and that was cool.
That's what I think personally, the group dynamic, like the differences in my trip when there was just Kieran and myself in August, and then we met up with the whole gang of Friends of the Magic people, and there was like suddenly nearly 25, 30 of us going on Heimlich the Hungry Caterpillar. It turned that little kiddie ride into the most awesome rock dude fested ride ever, because we were going at it like it was some sort of scary rip ride rocket.
when you're with that many people and everyone's having a good time, it really changes the whole dynamic of everything, man. It's wonderful.
So you obviously feel very blessed to have been welcomed into the bosom of Cupcake Terror and Roxy's family extended.
I was like, what? That's a funny choice of words that you just...
I know. I chose it on purpose.
Another funny thing I want to say about hanging out with Cupcake and Roxy all weekend is... So they're, you know, pretty over the top in their apparel, to say the least.
They look amazing.
Yes, they definitely looked amazing. And
but they wouldn't fit in at a Women's Institute social.
You don't think so?
No. I don't know if you have the Women's Institute over
actually
there.
I actually don't know what that is. What's that?
Have you ever seen the film Calendar Girls?
I haven't, no.
I don't think it's creepy enough to hit your radar, but basically it's the Women's Institute is a group that's sort of derived from church groups, and it normally is the sort of 50 plus doddery old Mavises who wore their pearls and twin sets and were very proper.
Okay. I assume that's what you were. That was.
Yeah.
No, they would not have fit in there at all. So they're very colorful and over the top in their, you know, appearance. And I describe my personal style as skater goth. You know, I wear skater pants and shorts and skater shoes, but then I exclusively wear Argyle socks and some type of black T-shirt with some kind of morbid imagery on it. And so hanging out with them was a pretty interesting experience because they get so much attention. And all day, just people are complimenting them. And after a while, I decided to make a little game out of it. It was to see how fast I could respond to the people that were complimenting them before they could, as though they were talking to me. My favorite was when they would say, "Oh, I love your hair." And I was like, I go, "Thank you." Because, you know, I don't have any hair.
You mean you didn't turn your hair aquamarine with a slash of purple or red or green in it?
Nope. I just had my regulation army haircut there. Or the pretend I'm not bald haircut, as they keep it really short. And, you know, I'm dressed in all black. You know, and after a while, I was telling someone, I'm like, I feel like the villain in Rainbow Bright when I'm hanging out with those guys, or those ladies, excuse me, because it's like, I'm just so void of color. They're just so over the top. So that was fun. But what happened after this is that I got to meet Jack and Sally.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, I don't do too many meet and greets. I only meet people that I really want to meet and that I could talk to. So I don't, you know, I have to meet face characters, too. I want to talk to them. I just can't. I don't want to mime with characters.
So where were they holding court, Jack and Sally?
Right in front of the rivers there.
Okay.
You know, a little, like, actually, it was actually right in front of the train station, like, diagonal or across from that, so diagonal from the Haunted Mansion, but that's where they were.
Cool.
And that was an experience that I want to share with the listeners. I really wanted to meet Sally. That was what I was really excited to do. Like, it was even before earlier, Jack was just out there, and I'm like, I gotta wait for Sally. I gotta meet Sally. So I actually have a recording. Audio recording of this.
Fab.
So now's a great time to play it.
Jack the Pumpkin King, and you?
My name is James. Pleasure to meet you.
Terrifying to meet you as well, Jack-O-Lantern James.
Madam Leota.
Thank you so much
I
for
do.
Wearing Halloween colors.
Oh, she's green.
Oh, and who is this?
It's the Madam.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. How fantastic. I didn't know she had a crystal ball that size as well.
Yeah, well, it's a mini one.
I see.
Yeah, for traveling.
Oh, how convenient.
You just heard it. But just to kind of describe a little bit the scenario there, I'm walking up and Jack starts talking to me. And we were saying whatever we were saying. And creeping up in my peripheral vision is Sally. And before I know it, she is pretty much like almost on top of me. Like she is leaning out on me. Like, I didn't think these characters got so physical. And I was wearing my Madam Leota button. That's what we were talking about there in the clip. And she starts poking at it, and she's just like, ooh. And I realized at that moment, I started getting chills. I was like, I really felt like I was meeting Sally. Like, I was like, because I just think Sally is like her whole, like, demeanor and the way she moves, it's so... trying to think of appropriate adjectives to use here for the show. This is a family show. But I was just like, it was kind of doing something to me, though. My heart rate skipped a beat there. I was just like, you know, I was such a crush on Sally, and, you know, I had a moment with her then. That was worth anything. That was worth the whole thing. I didn't really want my picture. I mean, I'll take a picture, but I really wanted to talk to Sally, and that was an amazing experience.
Aww.
And so, funny enough, the cast member that took a picture with my camera, you know, I kind of feel this might be a secret ploy here, but none of the pictures came out. They were all out of focus.
Oh, no.
And, of course, they give you that photo pass, which I'm sure is a beautiful photograph. I haven't looked it up yet. I'm sure it's great, beautiful, professional photography. So I am going to go look at it and see, decide if I really want to buy it or not. But
yeah,
but I thought that was a jerk move there. Why would you take out of focus pictures?
How difficult is it to point a camera?
I mean, I do have a professional camera, but you would imagine if they're sitting there all day doing this that they would know how to set a focus.
You see, this is where me and thee differ, because I've got a... I just give them my iPhone and, you know, I've never had a bad picture taken by it yet.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that finds the focus real well. But I regret not giving them my phone. I told Cupcake, who was in line with me, to take a picture with her phone so I could have it immediately so I could post it. But she said that they wouldn't get out of her way. Like, she couldn't take the picture. So if this other picture doesn't come out or whatever, there's be no proof. But I do have the audio, and I do have the memory.
True. You can't get rid of that.
I'll never forget that. So, as the day went on, did more stuff, good times all around. Eventually met up with an old friend, my friend Jason and his wife Evelyn and his son Oliver. And Jason's someone that I had been to Disneyland more with any other person, because he's one of the people I would go to all the time with when I was a teenager. So that was fun to be back with him there. We ate dinner at Flo's V8 Cafe.
Lovely choice.
Yes, which I thought was quite lovely. And I love being in there. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But that was cool there. We did go on California Screamin' after that. So that was fun. And his wife managed to get a picture of us on the ride as it passed through the bridge, and I posted it. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. We hung out with them for a few hours, and then eventually went back with the group. And then this is the end of the night, my last trip. I mean, last day of the trip, a few hours, and... We pretty much spent the rest of the night in Fantasyland.
Mm-hmm.
Roxy and I recorded a lot of on-ride audio, which I totally skipped over saying. We did one for Snow White Scary Adventures, and oh my god, it felt so good to ride that ride again. I'm so sad every time I can't ride it at Magic Kingdom. On top of the fact, even though the Magic Kingdom's not there anymore, this version is far superior to the version that was there. Oh my god, it is so good. I love it so much. That forest scene. Oh, I just want to live there. Like, it is so creepy. And then going through the dungeon with the hanging skeletons. Like, that stuff wasn't... I don't remember that from the Magic Kingdom version. And oh, I love it.
I love it. You know how much I love Snow White. Mm. I am totally... obsessed with Snow White, and that attraction to me, I just go on over and over and over again. I just love it. So yeah, I agree with you.
It's so good. The Evil Queen poking out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's beautiful. It was awesome. So we did a bunch of Fantasyland stuff. I rode Dumbo for the first time since I was a kid. So that was interesting.
You haven't ridden Dumbo at Walt Disney World?
Nope. I haven't gone on the new Dumbo and just never.
Wow.
Yep. So that was something. It was definitely funny to see a whole bunch of us kind of take over the ride, since we all had our own car. We're all too big to fit, you know. So we're shooting videos of that, and I was just kind of amusing just seeing all of us there. Didn't get dizzy on that. I think I'm doing a little better with dizzy stuff than I thought, because I used to get dizzy really easily. You know, so that was cool to ride Dumbo again. But now we're going to go to one of my favorite parts of the whole trip. And we'll all go down in history. Was when all the group that was with us at this point, which was 13 of us, all decided to go on It's a Small World. And this, I forget what time it was, but basically the whole plan was that we were going to go to Haunted Mansion last at 11:59 so that we could ride it at midnight. Which is called mansion creeping, which is something that locals do. They take the last ride, and then they'll talk throughout the stretching room and say the spiel. You know, it's just like the mega fan time.
Yeah.
So that's what we were going to do. So we had a little bit of time. Like, oh, let's do Small World. I had already been on it, and this is of course the Small World Holiday. I think that's what it's called. I don't know. Whatever it's called.
Because it's a Christmas.
It's Christmas. Yeah, yeah. So, whatever. It's cool. I don't know. I'm not gonna get into it. Of course, you don't want to hear about it because you don't want to experience it. But
I like Small World in general. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I don't know. I find it relaxing.
So. I love that place. It gives me wonderful nightmares.
And all the dolls come to life at night and attack. So they ask how many are in our party. And we say 13. So they put 13 full-grown adults into a Small World boat.
I've seen the picture. Yeah. I know what's coming.
And so we go to leave. And there's the loading dock. And there's, I guess, I'm not sure how exactly it works. You leave a little dock. It's like a little ramp that you have to go by. And then you actually get into the main stream of water.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget that the queue for the ride is all along that part. Like, it's just, you just constantly just see people loading and unloading. So that's the queue for the ride, you know, like, and, yeah, so we get to start going. We go maybe about 1 or 2 feet, and the boat gets stuck. And it was incredible. Like, we're sitting there stuck. The whole line is staring at us. Another really funny part, which Roxy told me about later because I wasn't sitting next to her, was she's like, you know, we're sitting there and everyone's staring at us, you know, for, you know, being, you know, too big to go on the ride. And at just at that moment, she's stuffing Rice Krispie treats in her mouth. Just to add insult to injury there. And, oh my God, we were dying laughing. The cast members were not laughing. They were very frantic. As they got these poles that they were trying to pull the boat out of being stuck. And we were just not budging at all.
So there's Roxy there adding weight to her body mass by eating more. Yeah.
At this point, I did take out the video. I did get some video of them trying to pull the thing out. Eventually, they made 4 of us get out of the boat.
So technically, you got evac'd.
Yeah, sort of. I don't know why they didn't make most of us get out of the boat, but they randomly asked 4 people to get out.
And, yeah. 4 being the magic number,
I guess. And eventually we started going, and it was that memory I'll never forget. That I was almost in tears laughing that we were stuck. I just couldn't take it.
This is amazing.
This is so embarrassing.
Oh, I just don't look at the people on the side.
Oh my God.
Okay, and then I need one of you.
John. We broke the ride for everybody. Look at this.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
It's all her fault.
We almost got stuck a few times in the ride. We had to actually push along the side.
So, I'm telling you what I'm going to do, James. I'm going to go to the little It's a Small World ride at Christmas, and I'm going to look on the control panel to see if they've put a big picture of you guys stuck in the boat with a warning saying, do not let 13 adults ride in a boat ever.
I mean, some people were embarrassed by it that we were a party, but our whole thing was like, that is not our fault. They told us to get in the boat. You know, they should have known that that would have happened. I mean, most of our party are larger Americans, so, you know, there's going to be some weight in there.
I'm sorry, I would have been asking for compensation. I would have been asking for fast passes.
Right, yeah, and it's like, we're so upset. I mean, I wouldn't have traded that for the world, though. I really, that was such a amazing.
It's ride. Things like that that make your holidays just so brilliant. In
yeah, no, it was. Yeah, I mean, that's Disney magic right there. Getting stuck on Small World. So, and on the way out of the ride, I had another kind of little magical experience. Earlier in the weekend on social media, I posted a picture of a sticker of the my other car's Doom Buggy sticker. And so the first person that comes up to me that says, I want to join the Doom Buggy Club, I will give them this sticker.
Okay.
So I just figured, you know, who knows who's going to see this? Who knows who's going to be in Disneyland? Who knows? I don't know. It's out there. And it's not that easy because, you know, they would have to know who I am. So that makes it, you know, makes it even more challenging because I don't really put my face all over everything Creepy Kingdom. But, so, you know, I'd forgotten about it. No one had come up to me or, you know, all weekend. And so we're going back into the station. There's like a little bridge that you go under where people stand over.
Mm-hmm.
And, our party who had gotten off the ride were waiting for us there. So they were, you know, talking to us as we were there. And then the lights go out. All the Christmas lights that are on Small World, they go out, and then there's like projections. It's like this kind of ongoing show that happens every 15 or 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
Just so you know why the lights went out. But, you know, they kind of cut off and it got really dark. And I couldn't see anyone's face, or I could, you know, whatever. But I could still hear them because we were slowly loading back in. And just as I'm sitting up there, I hear a voice go,
"I want to join the Doom Buggy Club."
Oh! And I was like, "That was awesome," because it was like it was someone that I hadn't met yet that weekend that was hanging out with the rest of the party that was waiting. Her name, Awesome Sprout, is her name on Instagram. And she won it fair and square. And so I was like, that's awesome. So I gave it to her.
Yeah.
So, I forgot one thing I want to say that when I skipped over stuff that I did the day before I get to the last thing that I did, is Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah. Rode improvements. That.
First of all, independent of the improvements, way more fun of a ride than the one at Magic Kingdom, just as a ride. Like, mm-hmm. I find it, like, way more fun. I don't know why. Just better drops, better curves. I don't know. I just find it more enjoyable. But that room where it looks like everything's about to explode.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. That is some top-notch stuff right there. It's one of those things that they totally didn't have to do. You know, they just decided to plus it. You know, and I think a lot of these small pluses are probably they're doing it to lead up to the 60th next year, but still, that was pretty cool. But anyways, at this point, we get off the ride and it is, I don't know, 11:52, and we got to get from Small World to Haunted Mansion. So. All of us, we ran over there, man. I know you're not supposed to run in the parks, but no one was around. It was almost closing. I can't tell you how devastated I would have been if we didn't get to ride it one last time, if we got there like after midnight and they wouldn't let you in the line. So I was like, got to do it. So I closed out the trip on Haunted Mansion Holiday. I went out three times. Wow. I wanted to go on it five times because that's kind of my rule whenever I go to take a Disney trip. I have to go on Haunted Mansion five times. But it didn't really happen. But, you know, I got to go three.
Three's good.
Yeah, I got to go three. And that was fun. It said everyone was mansion creeping that was in there. And obviously, I don't know the new spiel from the Nightmare Before Christmas one. So. But I did know one thing that I'd heard earlier, and I said it out loud. And Cupcake got mad. She thought I was really ruining it for everyone else. And then Roxy said, well, that was the whole point. We're supposed to do it. And we have this whole thing recorded on audio. So there was a little conflict going on there that I stirred up.
Oh, dear.
I just stayed out of it. I just stopped talking.
Bless you.
You know, I know better than to get in the middle of conversations like that.
Just walk to the side, James. Walk to the side.
To find out how Jack wrecked the halls, step away from the walls.
That's awesome.
You?
Yeah, but
I'm solid.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
Is that the whole point?
No, that's not the whole point.
The whole point.
The whole point is to say the lines. That's it.
Any more literal children.
Well, that's what she said. Was the whole point was to say the lines. I'm just,
the whole point of going on the last tour of the night
is to say the lines.
Is that everyone else is a huge fan too, so you can say the lines and not feel guilty because you're not ruining it for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it caused a little conflict. There was some punching involved there. Someone got punched. So I said, I just stayed out of it, you know. Those girls are pretty tough. I mean, you know, they're very feminine, you know, they're very pretty, but they know how to fight too, so but yeah, that was it. That was my Disneyland experience there.
Sounds amazing, James, and thank you. It's just like being chatting to a mate for the last hour and a bit about his holiday. Sounds dead good.
Right. Just wanted to bring everyone along and let you know my experience there. Just to reiterate, the people that I spent the weekend with that I just met for the first time from the Bangarang Bunch, what an incredible group of people. I'm not going to go through and name everyone's names and be like, you know, the people that don't know them are like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. But if I met you and you're listening to this, you were amazing to hang out with, no matter how brief it was. Like, it was, you know, like the next day, the amount of new Facebook friends I had was, I couldn't even keep track. You know,
like, it was just, oh, wonderful.
I mean, it was so good to spend time with, like, people that were just kindred spirits, you know. Like, not only were they Disney fans, but there also were people more like me, you know, than a lot of people that I encounter. And it felt like home, you know. And that, I guess that's, and the way I sum up my past two trips is when I went to Walt Disney World and Universal Studios Orlando in September, that was an amazing vacation. Like that was just overwhelming, over the top, nonstop fun vacation. But this never felt like a vacation. Like, this just felt like this is what I should be doing. Like, this should just be my life. You know? And that, it really felt like home. You know, it was so good to go back to the park I grew up in, and spend it with such great like-minded people. You know, that was awesome.
Aww.
And so, and the last thing I will say, and you could take it with a grain of salt based on what I just said, obviously I spent the weekend with a Disneyland social club. And, you know, the Disneyland social clubs have gotten a pretty bad rap amongst the non-social club Disney fan community. And I reserve judgment. I mean, obviously I have no problem with the Bangarang Bunch, but I reserve judgment on being in the parks around the social clubs until I was actually there, because I just heard that they're intimidating, that they're rude, and that they ruin the environment and the experience. It's a lot. And then there was that horrible slandering Vice or article about the gangs of Disneyland and, you know, and all this stuff. And I will say, you know, I was obviously around a lot of social club members besides the people I was with, and I found their presence to be quite a great experience. To me, I saw them and I'm like, oh, those are people that love the parks as much as I do. That's honestly what I thought when I was around them. When I was around them. Like, those aren't tourists. Those are people that get it. You know, that's what I have to say. I figure I have a platform to say it. I will say it. You know, I think that, you know, obviously there's individuals in the world that do crappy things, and some of them may or may not be part of a social club, you know, who knows. But in general, I think that it's amazing, actually. So that's, I'm using my platform to say that. So
too right. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, I mean, I know, I don't know. I mean, we don't need, this isn't, you know, that could be a whole podcast episode.
Definitely.
Discussing that particular issue. But I just, you know, I just want to say to the Walt Disney World people that think that it's like some intruding thing, like, I just really didn't find it to be, you know. Maybe I'm just more in tune with social club members than most people. I don't know, but.
Well.
That's my take.
Yay.
So that's it for this mega long Disneyland trip report. Is there anything that I didn't say or bring up that you wanted to ask me about?
I think you've covered everything. I just can't wait to go back. Obviously, the park looked magical.
Yes.
I don't want to know about it, so shut up. And, you know, one day I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we both get to be in the same park on the same time and enjoy it together.
I think it's a possibility, you know. I think I'm going to be spending a lot more time on the West Coast in the not-too-distant future. And
I'm going to wear you down until you say, okay, Michelle, I'll be there.
I'm not going to make it when you're there yet. I really want to because that'd be a lot of fun. But I have a feeling you're going to come back to Disneyland again. I feel like you're at the point now where you're just skipping Walt Disney World trips. You're just going the extra 6 hours to the West Coast.
It's just a better park, and you don't have to timetable when you need to go to the toilet 6 months in advance with My Magic Plus.
Right. My Magic Plus and Fast Pass Plus I really dislike, and so it was great not having that around. I do want to put this out there and let everyone know, I still love Walt Disney World. It's not like I went to Disneyland and was like, screw that other place. I mean, it's a different experience. I mean, let's just be honest here. I mean, it's just a different experience, you know, and it's
cool.
So, yeah, that's that. So, Michelle.
Yes, James.
In case people want to find all about you and everything that you do, how do they go about doing it?
Well, I host the Disney Dream Girls podcast along with my good friend Jane Phipps, and you can search for us on all those usual podcast listening places under Disney Dream Girls. You can find me on Twitter at Dis Dream Girls, that's D-I-S Dream Girls. I am also to be found on the Avengers podcast. We do a weekly show that involves a little bit of discussion, a little bit of debate about topical issues connected to both US Disney parks and the Disney company in general. And obviously, as James has now given me my chair in the Creepy Kingdom studio, I'm on that podcast too occasionally. Yay!
Yeah, you're on it. It's no turning back now.
How can I escape? Let me out.
There's no escaping.
James has got me in his clutches now.
Well, and other than that, you have Minxmas coming up soon.
We do indeedy-deedy. We will be starting Minxmas in December, and I believe the only reason I'm having Minxmas this year is so that James can take part in it.
Well, excellent. I'm glad that I have so much to say. Yes, there will be a Creepy Kingdom episode of Minxmas, and Michelle doesn't know what it is going to be.
No, Michelle's very nervous what people submit, but if it's as good as last year, I'm still getting downloads now in November for last year's Minxmas, still getting people emailing saying how much they're enjoying it. When's this year starting? It's like, come on, give me a chance. It's not even December yet.
Well, I have some things up my sleeve for our episode, so you just have to wait and see.
Okay, then.
Alrighty, well, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for allowing me the pleasure of your company for a couple of hours to chat about your holiday.
My pleasure as well. And welcome to Creepy Kingdom, Michelle.
Yay! I want a badge now.
Okay, we'll get it made. Thanks again to Michelle for coming on the show, and welcome, Shelf, to the Creepy Kingdom cult? Sure, I don't know. So since the show is a little long, I'm going to skip reading emails. We'll do that next time. But if you would like to contact the show, any questions, comments, concerns, or complaints, or requests, or about anything that you want on Earth, just email creepykingdom@gmail.com.
while you're on the interwebs, if you'd like to hear a slightly different perspective on the weekend that was just discussed, check out Roxy Tart's podcast, Roxy's World. We recently recorded two episodes that we talked about the weekend, and we were playing a drinking game while doing it, and we recorded it live on the internet with video. So that's going to be released very soon, as of the date that this is being released. That's going to be episodes 9 and 10. You can find Roxy's podcast by going to roxy-tart.com. And if you really just can't get enough of me talking, be sure to check out my podcast, The Even James the Podcast Podcast, where it's just me talking off the cuff with my co-host Allison, and things get a little out of control there as well. You can find that show at The Even James the Podcast Podcast.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you got to do is go to creepykingdom.com. And check us out on the iTunes store, where you can leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show. You can rate us, preferably 5 stars. And you can subscribe there, too. And if you're not into all that, you can pretty much do all of those things on the Stitcher app. You can stream podcast directly to your smart device, phone or tablet. No downloading required. Check them out. Well, until next time. Keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.